Thank all of you for coming here to honor Coben and Taylor in their wedding ceremony. And you want to come up here now, or we'll. This family has meant a lot to me for a long time. I've been out in this neighborhood for 18 years, and Taylor, you're getting into real good stock here. They've come and helped me shovel dirt and work like dogs down there and then thank me for letting me come and do it. That's the kind of people they are. I know that all of us here, we have children and we're very, very fearful in who they pick for mate. Because, you know, a dog or a cat, they drag anything in. And so do kids sometimes. But I think both sets of parents here are very happy. I know that Christine said that she was praying for this boy's mate when she was still pregnant with him. And that's wonderful. It's wonderful when you have parents like that. In his goodness, God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. Therefore, he created a helper worthy of him in Genesis 2, 22-25. And I'm going to read this from Hebrew because the English is just too weak to explain this. And my students know this. And Adam gave names to all the livestock and to all the birds of the air and to every free-roaming beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable, adapted to, completing all of his needs for him. And Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God, caused a deep hypnotic trance to fall upon Adam. And while he was in this deep hypnotic trance, God took of his bones and his fleshes and his blood, and he closed the fleshes up instead of her. And of the signs which the Lord God had taken from man, he built up and made her into a woman. And he brought her the man. And then Adam said, "This creation is now bone of my bones and fleshes of my fleshes. And she shall be called Isha, or out of man or woman, because she was taken out of man." Now here we have Adam's prophecy. Adam didn't know anything about this. But he said, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall become united into one flesh, and the man and the woman shall were both naked and were not as marriage or ashamed in each other's presence." Who gives this woman to be with?
My wife and I do.
In the New Testament, we have the same story. In Ephesians 5 and 22 and 21, the Venus letter was a circular letter to all the churches. It says, wives, be subject and submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a servant to the Lord. The husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of the body. And as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives also be subject in everything to their own husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the waters with words, that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkles, or any such thing, that she might be holy and faultless. Even so, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it as Christ does the church. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. However, let each man of you love his wife as his very own self, and let the wife see that she respects her husband, reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates, and esteems him. That's a tall order, isn't it? And that she defers to him, praises him, loves and admires him exceedingly. Now, from the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have divine scriptural authority for marriage. We are gathered here this day, Saturday, April 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2016, to witness the joining two lives together. Today we stand before an altar which God Himself originally created in the Garden of Eden. Eden, by the way, is like a palace. It means a guarded pleasure park. Surrounded by flowers and hosts of angels and spirits as witness to this great holy undertaking, this estate of marriage was created by God Himself before sin ever entered into the world here. Man lost Eden, but his holy estate of marriage has come down to us today through millennia, undisturbed by the horrors of wars, revolutions, the rise and fall of nations, but not forgotten in times of peace. It is a union which young people dream of and old people rest in. It's a union that young people dream of and old people rest in. Scripturally, in reality, no official or minister can marry you. It's between you and God and each other. You can only marry each other. The state can make a marriage a legal contract, which this is, or no. It is a spiritual yet a terrestrial union between a man and a woman that love each other and God. In marriage, two lives are blended together to make a mutual bond for a lifetime commitment. You become best friends, companions, confidants, teachers, lovers, and sometimes critics. I don't care how well that you think that you planned out your life, this is a great outcome. This day you'll start on an unknown, uncharted journey. You'll face life's biggest challenges together as a couple to protect and respect each other in times of need and in sickness, financial distress, and sometimes financial success, hopefully. You will succeed in marriage as a family, no matter what you may think. You'll face it together as one entity. A couple in marriage tries to bring out the best in each other's character, to encourage each other in success and defeat. We are gathered here to witness and watch a miracle of God's love. You came to my house about 6 or 8 months ago. Didn't you? Nobody wanted to get married, and I was shocked. And that gave me 6 months to worry about this marriage ceremony. But we've witnessed this miracle of God's grace, this miracle of God's love, that spread into the lives of these people and into the family. So fast. They have sought this holy estate of marriage, and life not committed to one another. May we have the ring. May we ask God's blessing upon these rings of what they stand for in your life. Our Heavenly Father, our God, we ask you today to come down and comfort these two young people in this time of joy. Let them look forward to a lifetime together of love and commitment. Be with their parents. Be with each and every witness here and here today. We know that there's a myriad of angels with the spirits all around. Father, help us to glorify you. Always remember the vows that they're making to each other today. Help them to honor you with their life. And help them to pray for your children as they come forward, that they'll find the right mate, and then pray for the parents that they'll teach them right. Because now they'll know how much their mothers and fathers pray for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 4 through 7, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth about true love. Love endures long and is patient and is kind. Love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful and vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited and arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude. It does not act unbecomingly. Love does not insist on its own right and its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no count of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but it rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes its way. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. That's love. That's agapeo. That word for love means to give your life for it. We know that you're ready to, today, this day, to give your life for each other. You're going to give your lives to each other. These rings represent a circle that has no beginning and no end. Two separate lives become one in this. Today, Tobin and Taylor, I will ask you to stay closer than ever, and you should love one another in sickness and in health, for better, for worse. At the same time, that precious love that you have found and nurtured should give you freedom and strength to stand apart and seek out your own unique destiny, to make those special contributions to the world and to society that is always a part of each and every person. And you encourage each other to do that. She's special in some way. He's special in some way. And encourage them to go in that direction. Tobin, as you take Taylor's left hand and place the ring on her finger, please repeat after me. I, Tobin, take you, Taylor.
I, Tobin, take you, Taylor.
To be my wife.
To be my wife.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
For richer or for poor.
For richer or for poor.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Today.
Today.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And forever.
for us.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
Taylor, will you take Tobin's left hand in yours and place the ring on his finger? And please repeat after me. I, Taylor, take you, Tobin, to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish today, tomorrow, and forever, till death do us part. Tobin and Taylor, your life have been joined as the one I'm growing to serve. And wherever you go, may you always return to each other as a family. May you grow in understanding and compassion and devotion to each other. May the home you establish in Bakersfield or wherever it is always symbolize the spirit of love that is in each of your hearts today. Tobin and Taylor, you have declared your faith and unity in the giving and receiving of your rings and the exchanging of your special vows in the presence of God, angels, and spirits. They're here. And this is simply us with them. And this concludes your spiritual union as husband and wife. Now, we're going to have a stand ceremony also now. This represents two lives becoming one. Two lives going into one destiny. Now we want to have a family prayer. I want the parents to come up here, and I want them to lead in prayer for the future of these two young people. I know you are part Indian, and I know you're proud of your heritage. And this is something I always do since I'm Indian also. This is a little blessing that the Native American people of these lands said at their wedding ceremony for their young people. Now you will feel no rain, for you will find shelter in one another. You will feel no cold, for you will be warm for the other. For there will be no loneliness for you. You are still two bodies, but there is only one life before you. So now go to your dwelling place and enter into those days of together. And may your days be good and long upon this earth. May your heavenly Father keep and bless this marriage. Walk and talk of peace and love. May God bless you richly. Now may I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Tobin Norton. And by the authority and vested in the minister gospel, I pronounce you man and wife.
That's a nice one. 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 That's a nice one.